from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The portion of Scripture for our meditation this morning is recorded for us in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 4, beginning with the first verse. You may be seated. Dear friends in Christ, Adam and Eve were created in God's own image and likeness. That means they were perfect and holy, and they knew His will. God placed them in the middle of the Garden of Eden and told them they were free to eat from any tree in the garden except from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If they ate from it, they would certainly die. So they lived there in the garden and everything was perfect. But then the devil came in the form of a serpent. And he questioned the validity of what God said to Adam and Eve. Did God really say that? He said. You will not certainly die when you eat from that tree, but you will be like God. He created doubt in Adam and Eve's mind. They began to doubt if God loved them, if God was telling them the truth, or if God was holding back from them. And unbelief led them to rebel against God and eat that forbidden fruit. They fell to Satan's temptation. Sin entered the world, and death through sin. And ever since then, mankind has been nothing but sinners. As physical descendants from Adam and Eve, we are nothing but sinners. You can do nothing but sin by nature. And even now, as Christians, we still sin numerous times a day. Day after day, time after time, we fall to the devil's temptations. And one way or another, he gets us to sin again and again. And we deserve the same thing that Adam and Eve got for their sin. Death. Not just physical death, but eternal death. And yet, God still shows love to us. In His love, in His mercy and compassion, He came to Adam and Eve and forgave them. He promised them that one of their descendants would defeat Satan. When He cursed Satan, He said this as a promise to Adam and Eve. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. This prophecy, of course, was fulfilled in Jesus Christ, Adam and Eve's physical descendant and God's son. It was some 4,000 years after this promise was made that God fulfilled. About 2,000 years ago, when Jesus came into this life. He came into this world in order to overcome temptation for us. When Jesus was about 30 years old, He began His ministry. At the beginning of ministry, He was baptized by John. And then after His baptism, the Holy Spirit led Jesus out into the wilderness. And it was in the desert that Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Satan, as he always does, was tempting Jesus the whole time. But at the end of those 40 days, he saw Jesus at his weakest. So he came to Jesus and tried to tempt Jesus one last time. All he wanted was to get Jesus to slip up once, to make one small mistake. For if Jesus were to sin once, then He wouldn't be perfect. And if He wasn't perfect, then He couldn't be our Savior. And if He isn't perfect and He isn't our Savior, then we are still going to die in our sin. So He came to Jesus to test Him, and He said to Jesus, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Now remember that Jesus was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. He was hungry, weak, probably tired. He had a lot of hunger pains. All he had to do was perform one miracle. And keep in mind, he had yet to perform a miracle on earth. All he had to do was perform one miracle, tell these stones to become bread, and he could eat. His stomach would be satisfied, he would be full, his strength would return to him. No more pain or agony. It wouldn't be that hard for him. He is the Son of God. All he had to do was speak the words. And as the Son of God, why should he want to suffer? Why should he have to suffer in the first place? This temptation that the devil is giving Jesus here is for Jesus to take matters into his own hands and not trust in the Father to take care of it. If Jesus would use his divine power for his own benefit, for his own satisfaction, he would not be trusting the Lord or thinking that the Lord's will is not good enough for him. So Jesus fought off the devil's temptation. He did it by using the sword of the Spirit by quoting Deuteronomy chapter 8. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. There's no need for Jesus to perform this miracle for himself and so go against God's will for himself. Jesus' point is that all the bread in the world would not save him from death if he rebelled against the Lord. All the bread in the world could not save him from physical death if God wanted him dead. So physical bread doesn't matter. What is truly important is God. His word. His will. That is what is important. So Jesus foiled the devil's plan. So he tried another temptation. He took Jesus to the pinnacle, the top of the temple. Now the top of the temple kind of overlooked the Kidron Valley. One scholar said that from the top of the temple to the bottom of the valley was about 450 feet. And the devil said to Jesus, "Throw yourself off." Obviously, at 450 feet, no one could survive such a fall. The devil said, "Don't worry about that, for God will command his angels and they will lift you up in their hands. If you are the Son of God." Satan was trying to create the doubt in Jesus' mind that he had created in Adam and Eve's mind. If you are the Son of God, this is what will happen. He was hoping that Jesus would think to himself, "Perhaps I'm not the Son of God. Perhaps God doesn't really love me. Perhaps he won't send his angels to watch over me and take care of me." And then Satan used one of his favorite tricks. He used Scripture to back up his false teaching. Now, Jesus had used Scripture to foil the devil's plans earlier, so Satan figured he would use Scripture against Jesus in this temptation. He said, "It is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Of course, Satan, as he usually does, ripped this quote out of context. He misapplied the Scripture. He misinterpreted the Scripture to hopefully lead Jesus to think that this Scripture was saying that God would protect him no matter what. Satan still uses that tactic today. And many times we fall for it. Some false teacher will say, "This is what God says in his word," and we take his word for it, even though that's not what God says in his word. He might even use Scripture to back up his false teaching. But instead of studying God's word ourselves, instead of seeing what God, if what that person says is true, we take his word for it. We fell to the devil's temptation. He tricked us because we took his word for it. But not Jesus. He knew that Satan loves to twist God's word just as he did to Adam and Eve. So he used God's word again. This time by quoting Deuteronomy 6. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. Now Jesus would be obey Satan. He would be testing God. He would put himself in a situation that would force God to act. Just like the Israelites did in Deuteronomy 6. God told this to the Israelites because the Israelites demanded a sign from God. They were in the wilderness and they demanded that God give them water so that he could prove that he truly loved them and cared for them. But Jesus refused to demand such a sign from God. Jesus didn't need God to prove that he loved him and cared for him. He didn't need a sign from God that he was going to protect him. Satan failed once again. So he tried one last temptation about Jesus. He took him to the area's highest mountain, and somehow he showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All the glories and riches and honor of the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "All this I will give you if you bow down and worship me." Jesus could have it all. He could have all the power in the world, all the glory, all the riches, all the honor, everything that the world has to offer, it could be Jesus. It could all be given to him. And he wouldn't have to suffer and die. You see, right now, Jesus already has those things. Jesus is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He has control over every kingdom on earth. He has the glories and riches of heaven, far better than the glories and riches that the world's kingdoms have to offer. But what did Jesus have to do to get those things? Though he was betrayed by his closest disciples, he was arrested and beaten and abused, spit upon, crowned with thorns, flogged, crucified. He took the world's sin upon his shoulders. He was forsaken by his heavenly Father and suffered through the pain and agony of hell in our place. He died for our sin. Jesus now enjoys the glories and riches of heaven. He is the King of Kings. But he had to suffer and die. The devil is offering him a way out. You can have all the kingdoms. You can have all their splendor. And you won't have to suffer and die. You can avoid all that pain and torment. Of course, there's a few things wrong with Satan's offer. First of all, Satan said, "I will give you these things," but they don't belong to Satan. Satan never had control of the kingdoms of the world. He never had control over the glories. They're not his to give. They actually belong to God. They belong to Jesus himself. And of course, the major problem is that Jesus would receive these things if he bowed down and worshiped Satan. If he rejected God, if he broke the chief and first commandment, then he could have all these things. Of course, Jesus wasn't about to do that. Of course, Jesus wouldn't sin against the first commandment. It is impossible for Jesus to disown himself. There's never a question whether or not Jesus would disobey the first commandment. But we do. Now, none of us may bow down and worship Satan, but we still break the first commandment. Satan still tempts us. He entices us away from God with the things of the world. "You can have it all," he says. He tempts us with relaxation or free time or money or friends. He convinces us that our life would be so much better if we didn't go to church this day, or if we didn't read our Bible, or we skipped Bible class. He tempts us away with the things of this world. And so we put the things of this world ahead of God in our lives, and we break the first command. We fall to the devil's temptation, and we sin. But not Jesus. He responded as we should. Away from me, Satan. For it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Jesus refused to bow down and worship Satan because it goes against God's word. And then he sent Satan away. And what did Satan do? Satan had to leave. Even Jesus, in his state of humiliation, had complete control over the devil. When Jesus told the devil to do something, the devil had to listen. For Jesus had complete control over him. It shows us that even in these three temptations, Jesus was in complete control the whole time. So why would Jesus put up with Satan? Why would Jesus willingly be tempted by Satan? Why would the Spirit lead Jesus out in order to be tempted by Satan? Because he did it for us. He was tempted to save us. Adam and Eve were tempted by the devil. They fell and brought sin into the world. And along with Adam and Eve, we sin constantly. We constantly fall to the devil's temptations. And like Adam and Eve, we deserve death and damnation. So God sent his son, Jesus. If Adam brings sin and death into the world, then the second Adam, Jesus Christ, brings forgiveness of sins and eternal life into the world. Adam succumbed to the devil. And so do we. But Jesus did not. Not once did he sin. Not once did he fall to the devil. He lived a perfect life so that he could be our Savior. So that he could take his perfect life and give it to us. So that when God looks at us, he could see us as his own dear children and declare us not guilty on account of Jesus Christ. Jesus foiled the devil's temptations for us, so that we might be saved through him. That's the point that Paul makes at the end of our second lesson for today. Just as the result of the one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God, that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.